How many rookies ever make a starting team? How many high draft choices ever see much action in their first year in football or basketball outings? And how many actors, actresses, singers, fresh out of school, ever do get the leads? How many prodigies ever end up playing in less than famous orchestras? Why is it, we ask, that sheer, raw talent is not ever enough to make it into the big time? At the beginning of a career, and often never in a career. The answer is that the rookies, the prodigy, the gifted young talent often lacks the essential components for success, namely experience and maturity. If the gifted young person is simply too arrogant to keep on learning, or thinks that sheer ability is all that is needed, then he or she may never, ever quite make it. Maturity, wisdom, poise, experience cannot be taught. They all have to be learned. And they are almost always learned through mistakes, failures, defeat, humiliation, pain, and heartache. It all seems to be built into our own human nature that we all learn much better from our mistakes than from our accomplishments. And we learn more from our failures than from our successes. Even married people learn the skills that are so necessary to go on loving one another over the years only through constant, repeated failures and pain and frustration and heartache. And no love that they might have in the beginning, however powerful or passionate, is ever able to substitute for that experience of learning how to live together and learning about each other and growing over the years, gradually, painfully, and slowly into a deep, deep love. The romantic, passionate element is gone after months or at the most a year or two. Now that fundamental human insight on which the religious truth of today's gospel is based, and from which religious truth is inseparable, is that we cannot live save by dying. We cannot gain our lives save by willing to lose them day by day. We cannot succeed in life save by failing. We cannot grow ever save by blundering. And that kind of a person who tries to avoid all risk taking, all chance taking, all mistakes, to avoid all pain, all frustration, that person will never move off ground zero. Those kind of people who are so uncertain and so insecure that they simply hunker down to protect their lives, refusing even to risk their own personhood, refusing ever to be open, to be vulnerable, refusing to take chances in life, those people will never find a better, a deeper, a richer life. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, they will all end up losing what little life they already have. Like the seed that Jesus speaks about today, we all must die, little by little, day by day. So there's no mistake of it. So much of what we do in life is an ongoing attempt to avoid dying. We do everything we possibly can to protect ourselves from dying, to go on establishing around ourselves every conceivable kind of security in order to keep death at bay. As a matter of fact, to pretend that for us there is no death. We are going to be immortal. And the more that we concentrate on avoiding death, the more rigid, the more unsatisfying, the more pointless, the more unappealing our own life becomes. We are so busy trying to avoid that we lose the meaning of life itself. And paradoxically, the more that we simply forget about death, and the more that we learn how to put aside all of these defenses and all of these security mechanisms that we build up and collect, the more vital, the more appealing, and the more dynamic our lives become. That's how they receive a new kind of meaning. Being willing to lose our lives enables us to find them. Only by being willing to lose our life do we, in fact, find their meaning. Now, that happens to be the profound, profound psychological truth of the sayings of Jesus in today's gospel. The question remains, however, even after we all acknowledge the wisdom of losing life in order to find it, we still ask, is it a commonplace, a routine experience of daily living to gain life by losing it? Or is it more of a hint of an explanation of what life is all about? We here this morning, I think, are all old enough to have discovered that we know in our heart already that we all grow through pain, through sacrifice and mistakes, and that we all begin to live to a new self by dying to an old self, day in and day out. And we discover the more vulnerable, the more open we are, the more defenseless we become to other people's needs, the more attractive we are to them, and the more we are rewarded. But we still ask, is that merely a phenomenon of human living? Or is it actually a truth structured into the very nature of our universe? It is certainly the case, as Jesus said, that when the seed dies in the ground, something ever so much better begins to live. But then we ask, is that wisdom universal? Does it go to the very core of what life and existence is all about? Is death always the secret of life? Must we always die in order that we might begin to live? Even up to and including the final death, the fear of which generates all of those other fears that we have in life. So often we think it might be so, we hope it's so, but in our very best moments of insight, we know that indeed it is so, and for that we are glad. To recognize that Jesus came into this world not to provide us with that insight, that death is the prelude to life, but rather, Jesus came to give us the good news, to confirm that fact, to validate it, that it is true beyond our wildest dreams, and his own resurrection showed that someday we too shall follow into that mystery. The death that Jesus speaks about today in the gospel has only one message, that the passageway to new life, to fruitfulness, is what it means. Jesus speaks today of his own death not in terms of fear or denial. He plainly says to us that what appears to be the destruction of the person or the end of our being, in reality is the way and the only way to a new and a greater and more beautiful kind of being. He tells each of us that in our own lifetime, we all are able to observe verifiable experiences of many, many examples of how new life and new freedom, new happiness, continually come to us out of what we would have thought were death experiences at the time. And of course, he offers us two examples. The grain of wheat, he says, a single grain, all alone, unproductive, a hard shell. If it remains that way, he says, it will go nowhere. It will accomplish nothing. But then he says, if it falls into the dark, wet, warm earth and seemingly dies, in reality it will burst out of its hard shell and produce a plant that will yield a rich harvest. The second example of life, of what seems to be a death experience, is that of a human person who lives for himself alone. He refuses to share or to sacrifice or to risk anything of himself. That person, Jesus says, ultimately will destroy himself in his own selfishness. He will already be buried during his lifetime in his own self-made grave of self. Our Lord is telling us this morning that all of living for each of us is enriched day in and day out by dying to our selfishness. He is suggesting that the final definitive act of dying is no more destructive to us or to our identity, or to our person, than the many, many little deaths that each of us goes through, day in and day out. We always rise to a little more new life each time that we die to ourself. And that is why death remains a mystery. Jesus' death, your death, and my death. The final death and the little daily deaths of our lives are frightening and painful to each of us. And yet, each time they happen, they are the source and the only source of new hope and new life. That is the way that the Lord walks. That is the way that the grain of wheat produces a rich harvest. And that is the way that caterpillars become butterflies.
Please join number 284, our offertory hymn, We Stand in Need.